first sign that you are growing spiritually is the expression of the nature of God, who is love, through your life. And marriage is a great platform to practice that. Marriage is blood covenant. You see, when people don't understand that marriage is blood covenant, they think of an exit route. They think of a back door that they can go through. So you see, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit your own husband as your head, right? For this is a symbolism of Christ's relationship with his church.
Love comes in different colors. Welcome to Colors of Love.
Trust me, for those of you who feel very spiritual, if you don't get the hold of the wisdom of God in this area, you can get very frustrated. Trust me on that. Hallelujah. You're spiritual, you're on fire. You don't know why sisters are running away. Amen. God sent me to you today. Amen. Hallelujah. To give you sense. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You are deep and spiritual, and you are wondering why brothers are running away. Amen. So don't pretend you need it. Deep and spiritual, you are wondering why your wife is always unhappy and always sad. Amen. I bring to you wisdom. Don't look at my ripped jeans. Amen. I'm suspecting this boy. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm your generation compliance. That's why you're happy. Somebody is happy. Glory to God. All right, let's get into the business of the day. Good to see you. Let's get into the business of the day. We've been, and hi, First Lady, she's watching. Amen. Glory to God. We still have a lot to touch on. This is what we're going to do. Maybe somewhere along the line in 2020, we'll create another time to handle some other things. Amen. For example, we're supposed to talk about how to handle abusive relationships and breakups. Okay, and I hope somebody will ask questions along those lines so that I can just mention a few things. We're supposed to talk about mastering, getting a grip on your sexuality. Amen. It's an important part of this talk. Okay, because sex is around relationships and marriage. Hallelujah. And having a grip goes for both the singles and the married. Hallelujah. Some of the things, once they get married, they will have control over their sexuality. They just got deceived. Amen. Because marriage is not the cure to promiscuity. Amen. If you don't know the principles, you are still in trouble while married. Okay. Okay, so we'll have to handle that. I hope if any question takes me in that direction. By the way, I'm supposed to write out your question and submit, then we'll take some today. The ones we can't cover, we'll just email them to you. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. So if you are interested, in case you are not sure, you can write your email below the question. Or just write the question, we'll send the email generally. I think we should have the email address of almost everybody here. Hallelujah. Okay. How to handle heartbreaks. Jane says, there the Lord is, according to the scriptures. Very important. So you need more than that, actually. You need practical skill. Okay, because a lot of people, not being equipped with what to do, run into all kinds of trouble, and they have carryovers even into their marriages. Okay, which is very bad. Okay, somebody is married to a man and is thinking about the person who jilted her 5 years ago. That's foolish. Okay, but it's lack of the skill. Okay, you have to know what to do to move on. When somebody jilts you or moves on, it's not time to be hugging your pillow, to be reading his, looking at his profile on Instagram, on Facebook, and on his birthday or her birthday, you'll be calling and I wish you happy birthday. You don't help yourself like that, amen. Or be singing, oh, break my heart, say that you love me again. You think I don't know the song, amen? Nobody's unbreaking your heart, amen? So, their skill. So, along the line, I hope we'll get there. Amen. Glory to God. However, we're going to handle some very important things today. I call them the three essentials for success in romantic relationships and marriage. Okay. But I'll give you a preamble around that. Okay, preamble around that. The three essentials, you can write it down, but the other things we'll see in between that will really bless you. The three essentials, I even hope we'll get there. But that's, I want to talk along that line. From 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, the Bible says, now abideth these, faith, hope, and love. Amen. And the greatest of this is love. That's where I'm taking that from. But there are things I want to just run over very, very quickly that will help you. You know, if you've been listening to our teachings on relationships and love, you must have heard us talk about the three C's to consider before you choose a life partner. How many of you have heard that before? We say character and core values, compatibility and chemistry. Amen. And those things are very important. In case you've not heard that before, I'm just saying that, okay? Three major things to consider before you say hello to a guy, before you say I do, rather, to a young man, or before you carry a young lady to the altar. You have to consider those things. Character and core values. Okay, the Bible says not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, and that is very important. God, you see, the Bible calls the word of God the wisdom of God. The word of God is the voice of wisdom. And Proverbs 8 talks about wisdom standing on the road and calling unto men. Very important. And every time you hear to the voice of wisdom, you have rest. Every time you hear to the voice of wisdom, you have riches and righteousness. Every time you hear to the voice of wisdom, you have peace. So it said not to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. There has to be similarity. You have to consider character and the person's core values. Very important. Nice is not enough. The person has to be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit. A man who does not love Jesus cannot love a woman. I've said that again and again for years now. A man who does not love Jesus cannot love a woman. A woman who does not love Jesus cannot honor and respect a man. If I'm not in this day of feminist movement, you're already in trouble. When you read some of the comments that people put on social media, especially when people talk about respect and submission to a man, you know there's trouble. Amen. You know, so very important, core values and character. Let me tell you this. Make up your mind from the beginning. That's for those who are single. Make up your mind from the beginning to produce Isaac, not Ishmael. Isaac is the word, a child of promise. Isaac is the result you produce by the word of the Lord. Isaac is the result you produce by subscribing to the wisdom of God. Isaac is the result you produce by abiding with the order and the principles and the paradigm of the kingdom. Remember, 2 weeks ago, at the first part of the Colors of Love special, I told you about subscribing to the wisdom of God, going with the wisdom of God, and leaving behind, or not closing your ears to the wisdom of this world, closing your eyes to the wisdom of this world, and going with the wisdom of God. That's very important. Make up your mind to produce Isaac, not Ishmael. Meaning, don't force things to happen to please your flesh. Don't force things to happen against the principles of God's word, against the standard of God, to get what you want in the flesh. At the end of the day, you get Ishmael. And the Bible says Ishmael engenders to bondage. Ishmael leads to bondage. Meaning, you had better not be married than producing Ishmael. Are you listening? And that's very important. Now, for those of you that are single and anxious about marriage, you want to run inside. Don't forget that people inside marriage, some of them are trying to run out. So don't be in a hurry. Relax and get it right. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. So character, core values. Number two, compatibility. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You have to consider that very fast. Okay, Amos 3:3, that's where that is from. Number three, chemistry. They are important. An important consideration in choosing a life partner. Chemistry. Okay, Songs of Solomon. Don't read that, please, until you're married. Shabalagayas. Amen. So chemistry is important, but the least consideration of the three. Okay, so don't put chemistry ahead of character, core values, and compatibility. Is that okay? Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 16. When you go home, you can read it. Amen. Just read only that portion. It talks about his desire for his beloved. Hallelujah. I'm going to be reading the parts That is for married people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that you don't awaken what should be sleeping. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, there are some I can't quote you to go to marriage enrichment picnic. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Okay, so we move to the next thing. I call it the three things you must bring into a relationship or into your marriage. Now, if you are single, you need to listen to this. If you are engaged in a relationship, you need to listen to this. If you are married, for the married people here, you need to listen to what I'm saying. Very important. The three things you must bring into a marriage, into a relationship that will lead to marriage, into courtship and all that. The three things you must bring into a romantic relationship that has direction and into a marriage. This is very, very essential. The lack of these three things is the reason for the headache in relationships and marriages. And I'm about to list them out for you. Are you still with me? Number one, convictions. Number two, commitments. Number three, covenant consciousness. Listen, happy are you when you find a man with these three. Happy are you when you find a woman with these three. Convictions. What's the second one? Commitment. What's the third one? Covenant consciousness, especially for those who are married. Convictions, commitments, and covenant consciousness. If you are in a relationship right now, you have to ask yourself, have I brought these three things to the table? If you are married and you are listening to me, you have to ask yourself, have I brought these three things to the table? Convictions, commitments, and covenant thinking, covenant consciousness. Number one, convictions. Convictions. I believe it was last year in a Tuesday service when I taught on convictions and persuasions. You remember that? Who remember that service? Makaba, you've not forgotten till now. If you're not around, go and meet the media people. Where is that message our pastor is talking about? Convictions and persuasion. Listen, in life, if you are not a person of conviction, you are not going anywhere. The depth of your conviction will determine the height of your influence. The depth of your conviction will determine the height of your impact in career, in marriage, in financial prosperity, in ministry. If you are not a person of conviction, newsflash, you are not going anywhere far. The Bible says a double-minded mind is unstable in one of his ways, in all his ways. That means when you are changing relationships like clothes, it's just an indication of something deeper. Is somebody here? New girlfriend every quarter of the year. New girlfriend every year. You are hearing me now. I'm shaking tables. I will shake it today. I will shake it. Convictions. Convictions. Conviction means loyalty, devotion, fidelity, dedication to a cause or a person. That's what conviction means. The lack of it in people's lives, the lack of it in relationships and marriages is responsible for a lot of the frustrations, especially premarital relationships. In fact, this is responsible for a lot of the heartbreaks. This is responsible for the cryings and the weepings that we see, especially among Christians. Now, the people in the world, they are in the world, they are not our business. But I'm talking about kingdom people who should reflect kingdom life. When people step into relationships without this first ingredient of conviction, they cause problems. A young man comes to ask you out, I love you and all that, you just no considerations, and I'm going to teach how to bear that conviction. Listen, don't enter a relationship with a lady, with a man, until you are convinced. When you go in without conviction and you want to pull out and break somebody's heart, you're a wicked person, you are inconsiderate, you are immature. And not just premarital, it starts from there. And then you take it into marriage. But starting from premarital relationship, that sense of the definition I gave to you is actually for commitment, sorry. That sense, conviction means persuasion. That's what it means. You can take note of that. Conviction means persuasions. Let me give it to you the way I wrote it. Conviction means strong persuasion and certainty about something. So somebody comes to ask you out or comes to meet you, whichever way they come. There are those who come directly, I want to marry you. Okay, and there are those who come indirectly. Okay, I love you, I'm thinking of marrying you, but let's start something. Amen. And there are those who come and say, let's start something. There's no marriage in the picture. I told you 2 Sundays ago, they are suspects. Amen. They are saying something. Ladies, you better hear it. They just want your body. There's nothing more. Believe me. That the person is speaking in tongues notwithstanding. Are you listening? There are people who are speaking in tongues that have not dealt with their foolishness. Amen. So you have to be wise. You cannot be a recipient of the foolishness. Do you understand? Be wise. See, no matter how young you think you are, listen, there are two things. If at this level, listen. If you are listening to me, whether you are 18, 19, 20, listen. There are one or two things. It's either you are ready for relationship or not. And then when you are ready for a relationship, the direction must be clear. There's no playing around. It doesn't help anybody. Glory to God. So he comes to ask you, I want to marry you. I love you. I want to marry you. I want to start something with you. That will lead to marriage. Amen. Whatever they get to say, whatever is in people's manifestos. Amen. There are different manifestos. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whatever it is, don't respond until you are convinced. I know it's hard, but I'm telling you the truth. As a young man, please don't go and stir a lady's emotion if you are not convinced. What is the meaning of asking a lady out and then after 6 months, you say you are not interested again? After 9 months, you say, what is wrong with you? It's a revelation of your immaturity. You stir a young lady's emotion up. Now she likes you. Now she's getting interested. And then you start misbehaving. You start developing cold feet. And then someone bring God into their business. They say, please leave God out of your personal business. Just leave God out of it. They start saying things like, I've been praying. Did you pray before you came? You know, it's that secular ideology we have that you can test the waters, you can just, that's the problem. But it's not of God. It doesn't belong to our kingdom. There should be a level of, listen, don't go to any lady if you know you can marry her. It's okay if along the line she leaves you or things happen, you guys are not compatible. That's fine. But that you are going, you know that you can marry this lady. You know that is dishonest and does not reflect the character of Christ. Are you listening to me? You waste the person's time, you stir the person's emotion, you break the person's heart, that is unfair. Be a person of conviction. Be sure before you step out. Have a level of certainty. Have a level of persuasion before you step out. Glory to God. And the ladies, have a level of certainty and persuasion before you say yes. So you can have all the time in the world. And once you are convinced and you say yes, let it be that factors beyond your control are responsible for you not working, but not your instability. Deal with instability. Listen, I told you that when people display instability, lack of conviction in one area of their life consistently, is not just in that area. The Bible says they are unstable in all their ways. It's a revelation of something deeper. And when you're an unstable person, listen, conviction will make you a stable human being. Are you aware of that? When you're a person of conviction, you'll be a very stable human being. When you're unstable, the Bible says, Jacob told his son, Reuben, he said, thou art my firstborn, the excellency of my strength and all that, but unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Meaning instability and prosperity are mutually exclusive. So you think it's just emotional instability. No, it will flip over to the matters of other deeper matters of destiny. Be a person of conviction. Be a stable fellow. Let your yea be yea. Let your nay be nay. If you are not sure, say, hold it. I have some feelings for you, but I'm not sure. I don't want to. I don't think this can work. When you are fully persuaded, you can call if the person is available. Do you understand? Yeah. Thank you, my brother. I'm talking to someone. I know. I'm talking to someone. Glory to God. Conviction. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? And let it overflow to different areas of your life. Be a stable person. Be a person of conviction. Don't be unstable. Because eventually, there's only one person you marry. Amen. And you learn to love that person. So all the game has to stop. It's not even good for you. Hallelujah. Eventually, you just tell yourself the truth. Of the increase of fine girls, there shall be no end. Of the increase of cute men and fine men, there shall be no end. So you choose one, convince about the person, and we'll move to the next thing, commitments. Are you listening? I just told you the truth. And listen, let me not go into this. You know, let me tell you. You are married, relationship, all this. Ladies, don't bother yourself trying to highlight somebody to your husband or to your man in comparison. It's a waste of time. You know what ladies do? Babe, is her hair finer than mine, or is she finer than mine? That's a waste of time. Yes, she is. Amen. For you to bring her into the discussion, she's finer. Just forget about it. Are you listening? As of the increase of fine men, there shall be no end. Of the increase of fine girls, fine ladies, there shall be no end. So from the beginning, have set your face like a flint. Do you understand? Conviction maketh a man. Commitment maketh a man. Hallelujah. So conviction. You develop conviction by hearing from God. You develop conviction by prayer. In prayer, the knowledge in your head becomes convictions in your heart. Amen. Amen. When you hear the voice of God, or you hear the word of the Lord in your heart, not the loud voice, hold on to it and be convinced. I want you to convince, especially for those who are married. Listen, whoever you are married to now, you do not marry the wrong person. Don't create that opening. It will hurt you. Whoever you are with now, the instruction of scripture is clear. Love the one you married. Love the one you married. Be committed. Be committed. So number two, commitment. Now, this is where love moves from emotions to discretion. Write it down. Commitment. Here, love moves from emotions to discretion. I taught you years ago about emotional love and discretional love. I don't know who remembers that. Emotional love and discretional love. I said discretionary love is love of duty. Love of decision. That's discretionary love. It has nothing to do with how, it has nothing to do with how you feel. Watch this. And has nothing to do with the action of the other person. It has everything to do with the truth that you know, that you live by. One of the greatest things God taught me, and it was through a man. It was this man, sweet man, a millionaire, when his house, I think I just got married. When his house, his family were overseas and all that. He had some change, and he's a believer, strong believer. So he was just narrating, he was just talking to me passively. He wasn't like counseling, he was just talking passively. And he said something that has not left me till now. And he said one of the things that he learned was that, I think at the beginning, probably they had issues and all that. And he said God taught him that you don't relate with your wife based on her actions. You relate with your wife based on my word. Praise God. And that goes for everyone. You don't relate with your spouse based on their actions. You relate with them based on God's word. God's word is clear. Husband, love your wife as Christ loves the church. That becomes your discretion. Discretion means wisdom. It means prudence. That means you can be angry with your wife. If her flight is 2 p.m., you carry that car and take her to the airport at 12. If you like, don't talk to her. But you have to drive her there. Do you understand? You cannot say, I'm angry. No, you can't do that. Why? You are responsible for her. You are responsible for taking her to the airport. You cannot be angry with your husband and not get his food ready. No matter what he has done. With your angry face, say, it's your food. Amen. Or his coffee. Go and make ginger tea and bring for him. And just drop it. Glory to God. It's called discretionary love. I'm talking about commitment now. You must bring it to your relationship. You must bring it to your marriage. Bring conviction. Amen. Bring commitment. Kazekai, I married the wrong person. That's a lie. You sit down there and make it work. A lot of the marriages that are beautiful today, after some years, if you go and ask them what they went through, you'll be amazed. Some are vulnerable to share. Some, okay. Of course, not every marriage had have the same experience, the same story. There were those who really understood themselves, who had grown to a particular point before they got married, and they didn't really have much issues. Their marriage is like that too. You cannot say what did not exist. Amen. And there are those who came and they fought and fought and fought. And yeah, they have. I know some of them. I have a friend who had, the first two of his marriage, dear Lord Jesus. At the point said the lady packed, and their pastor, the lady packed her bag and wanted to go. Glory to God. But they are beautifully married today. They're God over that face. They could talk about it and share with people and all that. But a lot of things happen. And don't let Satan use it. Most times that's why it must be a person of conviction. It's when your wife is misbehaving that one babe will get your attention. Are you listening? They are looking at me holy. Amen. Are you listening? Or is when your husband is just not valuing you, not respecting you, doing all kinds of things. That's where one sharp guy in the office is giving you a close hug. Say, oh, Hannah, just give me a hug. And then you are resting there and wondering, oh, I wish my husband would be like Charles. Satan is looking for you. Conviction. Charles may be so nice and romantic and be sensitive to your feelings. Hello, he's not your husband. Hello, you don't know Charles past the office. Are you listening? I mean, there were things you saw before you got into a relationship. Remind yourself of those things. Glory to God. And let the word of God be your compass. Very important. Conviction. Commitments. Hallelujah. Commitment is allegiance. That was the one I defined earlier. Commitment is allegiance, fidelity, constancy, loyalty, dedication, and devotion to a cause or a person. This is where you start learning how to pay attention to what you have been convinced about. Hallelujah. Remember, whatever you pay attention to, you develop affection for. Write it down. It's very key, especially for those who are married. Whatever you pay attention to, you develop affection for. I learned that as a married man. Whatever you pay attention to, you develop affection for. I'm a core ministry person, so I pay attention to ministry. And I have strong affection for ministry. So I had to start learning how to pay attention to my wife. Are you listening? It's not automatic. Listen, there's no love in marriage. Kai. There's no love in relationship. Let me tell you. Love is in your heart. You bring it into the marriage. Selah. Did you get that? You know, some people get married and they're thinking, now that we're married, that love should fall into the marriage. No. The love inside the marriage will come from your heart. The love inside the relationship will come from your heart. Are you getting something? Meaning you are the one to bring it in. Get it? There's no love in marriage. You understand what I mean? So you are not married. You just expect automatic. There's love inside the marriage. That imaginary thing. No. The love that will be there, both of you will bring it. Hallelujah. You will learn to pay attention. Even when they annoy you, you learn to pay attention. You learn to trust God for a template on how to run the home, on how to run your marriage. How do you manage your disagreements? How do you manage yourself? How do you manage the mood swings? How do you manage for those who have? Please, are you a Christian? Use the word of God to deal with that thing. Are you listening? But as a spouse, you have to learn how to manage it. You have to learn how to manage when your spouse is upset. When the other person is not happy. How do you manage it? Have an agreement. You can talk and tell, listen, nothing should last more than 10 minutes. And it can be an agreement. If I annoy you, you talk about it. If I annoy you, I have to apologize within 10 minutes. It's something that must be talked about. So you find what works and make it work. Are you listening? That assumption that once you get married or once you're in a relationship, the love will be flying is a waste of time. You will bring the love inside. Are you learning something? It's like a garden. It has to be tend. It has to be watered. Hallelujah. It won't just happen by itself. You have to understand the other person. You have to pay attention. You have to learn them. Let me put it that way. So as a lady, understand the man. As a man, understand the lady. As a husband, understand your wife. As a wife, understand your husband. And do that in an atmosphere of love. Commitment. And listen, you are not the perfect one. Never enter into a relationship feeling, or especially when there is maybe crisis or you have issues, never assume that you are the perfect one and the other one is the imperfect one. There's a necessary, what I call a necessary assumption you must have. And that necessary assumption is, look, I too have a part to play in making this thing work. In living, in moving from this phase to the next phase, in resolving this issue. What is my part? What compromise do I need to make? What adjustment do I need to make? It's a necessary assumption. It's not just the other person who is always wrong who needs to make the adjustment. You, which adjustment do you need to make? Are you listening? In this context, you are not perfect too. Never forget that. So it's not that she's always a problem or he's always a problem. No. So once there is disagreement, once there is, and it has lingered, know that, look, what is my side? Glory to God. Commitment. Once you are committed, you will not let offense come in. You will walk in forgiveness. And I'm going to get into that. The three essentials. You know, I've not gotten there. Listen, the lifeline of your marriage, the lifeline of your relationship will be forgiveness and wisdom. Humility, forgiveness, wisdom. You have to walk in prophylactic forgiveness. Those are married here, you know. You have to. You have to make up your mind. Because this is a covenant. It's not a paper contract. Marriage is a blood covenant, not a paper contract. I've gone ahead of myself now to the number three. But I just have to mention that I'm still talking about commitment. Because commitment is part of covenant. Amen. Are you listening to me? Be committed. Even when your emotions are not committed, let your mouth and your actions be committed. Because if they are, remember I told you that emotions are good passengers, but bad drivers. Meaning your emotions don't lead you. Your emotions follow your decisions. Your emotions follow the things you do. Your emotions follow your words. Hallelujah. Very important. You make up your mind to be committed to this person and to make it work. Be committed. We live in the 21st century. I was talking to those who were around for prayer meeting on Friday that we have more difficulties now than the Christians who were at our age 30 years ago or even 20 years ago. That's the truth. There is so much of culture shock, culture shifts, subliminal influence from media happening. In fact, there's what I call visual assault. It's already happening to Christians. And they are trying to program us with ideologies that are outside of God's word. Amen. Somebody is talking. You know, somebody in church posted something one day. I called her. I said, you will remove that thing now. What nonsense. The lady was talking and showed that if he cheats on you, go and sleep with his friend. Yes. Or sleep with someone that will make him angry or something. You know, nonsensical, according to a man of God. Idiotic reasoning. Where did they get that from? Where did they get? And then somebody in church put it on status. I said, you didn't hear what she said? That was like 2 years ago or so. You didn't hear what she said? Are you insane? That is our own method now. Then be ready to sleep around. Listen. Somebody's action should not determine your perception of yourself. You are you, irrespective of what a person does. Are you listening? You are you. You are not living for someone. You don't live for your husband. You don't live for your boyfriend. You don't live for your wife. You don't live for your girlfriend. You live for Jesus. And you don't allow someone else's action affect your character and your own values. That's simple enough. But you see, that is the wisdom of the world. That is the world's way of doing things. And that's why things are complicated. Complex. Hallelujah. When I teach you about mastering your sexuality, one of the things I'm going to teach you is, one of the things I'll tell you is about the complexities, the why. God is on the throne. Your escapade, sexual escapade does not do anything to God on his throne. But you see, it's your life and your destiny that is at stake. It's not God. Are you listening? The complexities that come with it. The distractions. And what it does to your mind. What it does to your mind. You know, the fastest way to become a foolish person is by living in sexual sin. It's very fast. It's very fast. There are blockades in a person. Blockades. You, like the Bible says, you can't see afar off. No, why should somebody be chasing women when he has a destiny to chase? He's amazing. How do they survive with three girlfriends, two or three girlfriends? I say this one. And you'll be slowed down. There's no vision. Most times, lack of vision. Lack of paying attention to one is a lot of work. Amen. Are you listening? It's a lot of work. And then worse still, you are married and then you are trying. It's a lot of stress. No, it's a lot of stress. You are trying to put code in your phone. That your wife doesn't. Or check. You say, what I do with that phone? That's nonsense. That's nonsense. It's a lot of work. Don't even go there. Hey, just think about it. Stay with the wisdom of God. Glory to God. All right, there's commitment to God. Commitment to Jesus. Sorry, commitment to God or commitment to Christ. That's the first level of commitment. Number two, commitment to the institution of marriage. For those who are married, never forget these three levels of commitment. Number one is commitment to Christ. Because that's your checker. It's your commitment to Christ that will make you committed to a person. I tell my wife that. I say, I'm committed to Christ before I'm committed to you. So I won't do certain things, not primarily because I'm committed to you. Primarily because of my allegiance to Jesus. Are you listening? Because my commitment to you can waver. Glory to God. Then number two is commitment to the institution of marriage. God set it up. When you get married, there's an institution and there's a required commitment to it. You can't just walk away. Number three is commitment to your spouse. That's for those who are married. Hallelujah. All right, the third thing you should bring into a marriage, into a relationship is, this one is basically for those who are married, is covenant consciousness. Covenant consciousness. Are you learning something? And let me say this, if you are in courtship, please, no covenant. There's no covenant. You know what I mean? No covenant. Foolish things that people do until there's a ring in your hand. And you have said, I do. And you are blessed. In the presence of God, we have exchanged vows. There's no covenant. Do you understand? There's no covenant. You know, there are people that say they are so in love. They call their blood. They say, we're going to covenant. I say, in love with you. I hope you are all awake here. You are all awake here. You will not do that nonsense, right? You are awake. Are you awake? That is foolishness gone on rampage. What are you talking about? Oh, you're saying love. You know, most time is when people are not very focused. When people are jobless. You know, somebody say it was a comedy in those days. But he used to see broke and jobless people fall in love. Or talking too much about romance. Amen. Like even in the Bible, Job came before romance. You know, Job and romance. Amen. The book of Job is Job now. Then romance came after Job. So you have to be busy before romance. Do you understand? When people are not busy, that's why they do all this. Please, love the person passionately. But it's unbiblical to be cutting skin and say, suck my blood. Are you a blood-sucking devil? I love you so much. Suck my blood. Suck my blood. Are you a blood-sucking something? Oh, you don't watch Nigeria film, Nigeria movie. They say, oh, they have blood covenant. So when they're separated, this one, nothing is working for him anymore. They are looking for nonsense. Nonsense. Let me tell you something deeper. Premarital relationship. Those who have sex in premarital relationship are cutting covenants. Wrong covenant. Are you listening? It is wrong. It is wrong. We are Christians. It is wrong. That's covenant. Because in marriage, what makes it a covenant, what ratifies the covenant, is a sexual intercourse. Are you listening? And that is very important. Sex is spiritual. Sex is not just body meeting and partying. No, something happens more than bodies meeting. Are you listening? Something spiritual happens. Very important. Listen, don't just be natural. Be strategic in your thinking. Every time a man and a woman is in the Bible, they always say being one. It talks about sexual intercourse as being one with the harlot. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, being one with a person. So you now know the two shall become one. Beyond the prayer in church and the exchange of vows, when they meet sexually, there's an exchange. There is a covenant that is ratified. The person becomes your covenant partner. Your blood covenant partner. So you can write this down. Marriage is a blood covenant, not a paper contract. Are you listening? Marriage is a blood covenant, not a paper contract. If it's a blood covenant, you cannot just walk away. If it's a blood covenant, then you have to choose your covenant partner smartly and carefully. If it's a blood covenant, then is what waiting for? Are you listening? Is what waiting for? So you have to wait. Glory to God. Very important. It's a covenant. And this is a major reason why many marriages are failing. The lack of the understanding that marriage is a covenant. When you know that it's a covenant, you'll be committed to make it work. Committed to make it work. Covenant means their strengths have become your strength. Their weakness have become your weakness. Their infirmities have become your infirmities. Are you listening? You marry a man that loves women. That is your infirmity. You can't throw him away. You will fix him on your knees. You will stand with him until he overcomes that. Are you listening? You marry a woman that has a bad attitude, disrespectful, terrible. That's part of your infirmity. You have inherited it. Because my wife has a terrible attitude and all that. I can't live with her anymore. That's nonsense. That's your covenant partner. You will sort it out until she has sense. Are you listening? So it's not, it's covenant. Is covenant. You don't just walk away. You don't just leave people on the way. It's covenant. Glory to God. It's covenant. That means when you are marrying a person, you are going into a covenant. You know. And this person is your covenant partner. And you will stand with them through the dark times. Through the terrific times. Are you listening? Through the rough times, through their mistakes. You know, I followed last week's talk show. You know, she said something about she had created a worst case scenario in her mind. I don't know how many of you heard that. Can you remember? That's Dr. Duga, Mrs. Duga. Had created a worst case scenario in her mind. God forbid, but if it's ever time, what's the worst that can happen? I'm here. I don't know. Part of the service I streamed, I heard that say something like that. And that's true. Because it's covenant. It's covenant. Your husband goes to rob a bank. They arrest him and jail him. That's your husband. No? You stay with him. You pray for him. It's covenant. No, I'm serious. People don't understand these things. That's why a lot of... It's covenant. It's covenant. And the moment you understand that and you engage the power and the wisdom of God, you will have results. Listen, God does not want to punish you. Not say, okay, that means God just wants to punish me. No. Are you not the one that preached that all things are possible? He has the power to make it work. And that understanding of it as a covenant will position you to appropriate the power. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so out of time. So out of time. Genesis 2:24, it says, "But for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." That's Genesis 2:24. A man shall leave his father. So if he's still with his father and mother, he's not your husband yet. He shall leave. There has to be separation. Psychological separation. Financial separation. Physical separation. Can I get an amen? Amen. I'm shooking tables. I shall shook it. Amen. Separation. He said he shall be separate from his father and mother. So if he's still collecting pocket money from home, he's not matured enough. If he doesn't understand how to make money, why are you in a relationship with someone who does not know how to make money? Even if he's a student, what are you doing with him? Money is not important to you. Well done. Tom, I'm actually 300 level in my final year. I love you. I'll get a job later. Tell him to go and produce money and bring for you to see. I'm serious. It cannot be pocket money now. Is he not supposed to be giving you money? Or buying you something? Amen. Guys, in case you don't know, ladies have 3 compulsory love languages. 1, word of affirmation. 2, quality time. 3, gifts. Amen. You may not do act of service and physical touch. No problem. They are not even interested, really. Just the hug. Amen. Oh, you don't do? They are not interested. No, but that's the truth. That's the truth. Amen. Just hugs is enough. To say the truth, most ladies are not in a relationship for sex. It's men that are sex-driven. To say the truth. I know there are few exceptions, but to say the truth. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, ladies don't even believe what I'm saying. Oh, things have changed. That means... just hug, be tender, be kind, but just leave that one for later. Amen. But actually, that's how a lady is programmed. Except things happen over time. That's how a lady is programmed. Are you listening? All right. Praise God forevermore. So it's covenant. I know somebody is getting blessed. Hallelujah. Somebody is getting helped. Hallelujah. I speak to every marriage in the house. I speak to every relationship, God within relationship and marriage in the house, that in the name of the Lord Jesus, every satanic manipulation over your home, over your marriage, over that relationship is broken. And I command the light of God to begin to shine in that marriage. I command the light of God to begin to shine in that home. I command the light of God to begin to shine in that relationship. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I release the power of God, the breath of the Spirit upon that family, upon that marriage, upon that home in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come in 2 minutes where we are praying for every marriage in this church, every marriage represented here. Listen, Satan attacks marriages deliberately. Forget, you can do your best and certain things you just have, you know, this is Satan. Whether you are single or married, I want you to pray for every marriage in this place, that the hand of the Lord is mighty upon them. Makigas Labros Sheliga Brunda Sushte Brundo Kilagasa Branda Kebahaya. Questions. Very questions. Shaga Brando Sishte Brunda Kilakasu Branda Kebaya. Manda Kebra. Please, can you pray with passion? For those of you that are not married yet, this is seed you are sowing. You are sowing the right seed. I want you to pray. You say, Lord, every marriage in this place, in Glory Zone Church, they are strengthened in the name of Jesus. They are strengthened in the name of Jesus. They are energized in the name of Jesus. Sapola kombrakoska, jalia tola barata balaraba, rakabaladosa palodosa. We cancel every manipulation of hell. In the name of Jesus, we release a new wine of the Spirit. We release a new wine of the Spirit. Can we pray in unity? We release a new wine of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, husbands are loving their wives. Wives are submitting to their husbands. Husbands are loving their wives as Christ loves the church. Wives are honoring their husbands. In the name of Jesus. O Rabba Kappa, are you praying? Morabandele Kepa. Liga Bora Zashta Porabandele de Bahaya. Number two, I want you to pray. Hallelujah. I want you to pray for everyone in our midst who is ready to marry. Okay, there are those who want to marry this year. Everyone, young men, young ladies who desire to be married in 2020. Listen, this is spiritual. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. That means the intention to get married, you have to engage faith. Are we together? I want us to pray for everyone here who is marriageable. Some are having challenge of finance, some is challenge of the right partner. I want us to pray for them. Can you join your hand with a neighbor? And then you are going to pray, Lord, for everyone who wants to be married this year, let there be supernatural intervention. For our sisters, for our young men, let there be supernatural intervention. Let there be supernatural connections. Let there be supernatural connections. In the name of Jesus, let there be supernatural connections. Let there be supernatural workings. In the name of the Lord Jesus, come and go ahead and pray for them. Semananane yaroga sushe parane zeliaroga basanane ye yarosa manela de yaraga baera rabaya dare ye yarabaya rarara ye yaroso rabaya darare ye yaroso du ye raraboso du Are you praying for them? Molo kapa, mora bakasa la rabasata. Eyaroso ya manane, eyaroso na manane. The heavens are open over them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The third prayer I want you to pray. You see, sexual addictions and perversions are destructive. I want you to pray for everyone in our midst, and I'm going to make declarations and pray first. But I want you to pray. God hears you. And for some of you, it's you yourself you are praying for. That you see, the power of God has the ability to break addictions, to break perversions, to alter. Are you listening? Are you listening? We believe in the power of the gospel to transform lives. Is that true? We're going to pray, Lord, anyone in our midst struggling with pornography, struggling with masturbation, struggling with adultery, struggling with fornication, struggling with sexual addictions and perversion, struggling with homosexual attractions, same-sex attraction. I want to pray from your heart. Your prayer can save someone. I want to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, grace is released upon us. In the name of Jesus, the addictions are broken. The addictions are broken. Shapatola balatos. Ratopa, we release grace, 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 Sapaya, Ratakata, Radelatos, Ratepaya, Mapatelato, Ratopa,
They are free from the bondages of the soul. Lord, everyone under the sound of my voice, in this hall, online, struggling with any form of sexual perversion or addiction, malatosa, ricopate, ratopa, I curse the addiction from the roots in the name of Jesus. Licopalato, I declare freedom. I declare freedom. Bolagabaladosa, Shetoko Prakato, their minds are free. Leave a copper. The whole of pornography is broken. The whole of sexual perversion is broken. In the name of Jesus, if there is any demon responsible, I take authority over the spirits. I take authority over the spirits.
Addictions by the power of the Holy Ghost, the mental captivity, Licopalata, Shabateke Paradis, Ipesa Lina Mosa.
Hallelujah. Power of God is on me. How many of you believe that? Just lift your hands up, everyone. Can you just stand for 2 minutes? You still sit down for questions and answers. In the hall, in the overflows, just stand and lift your hands. Marako Soshotoko Brekapa. Liga Brekapo Soshoto. Liga Brekapo. I want you to pray for yourself sincerely. Whether you're a holy girl, a holy guy, whatever, I want to pray for yourself. Every manipulation of Satan to trap me in the area of my sexuality is broken. In the name of Jesus, all the days of my life, I have mastery. I have mastery. Can you go ahead and pray? I have mastery. Malakoska. Shabatola brondekila koskaba. Shabatalatonskeba. Shetola brondekila kaskapaya. Zeletombra kila kons. Shalakobra kokapata. Shabatola kopata. Shetopotoka. Rapatolaba. I will not struggle with that area of my life. Not now, not ever. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and pray. Shetokopra. Rakapatola brondeskipa. Come on, pray like a serious person. Shatopotolaba. Ratakapata. I honor God with my body. I honor God in my relationship. I honor God with my body. I honor God with my mind. Shakopata. Ligo brando kopos. Shaliga tala brandoska. Ligo brata kapata la nabasa. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Close your eyes and lift your hands. Lord, I stand under this strong anointing. I release deliverance. I release freedom upon everyone in any form of bondage. Abusive relationships, sexual bondage, mental soulish bondage in the area of sexuality. In the name of Jesus, by the authority in Christ's name, I declare you are free. In the name of Jesus. Our brethren are free. In the name of Jesus. Likapatos keli brando kapatosa. Likapora batosa. I break the influence of pornography over that young man's life and mind. I don't care where they are coming from. I don't care what I've been exposed to before. I come in the power of the gospel. Shabatolatosa. Those things no longer have power over their minds. In the name of Jesus. Shabbat.
And from today I declare the wisdom on how to handle issues like that, the wisdom on how to go about it, is released upon your people in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, because nothing will make us ineffective in your service. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, but
amen. You know, I begged you one time like that. I said, by all means, get attracted to opposite sex. I told you. Let's be handling that one first. Do you understand? No, you're not in church. I begged everybody. I said, by all means, get attracted to the opposite sex. Do you understand? By all means. Okay? Not... It's you can't just walk away. You can't just say, okay, just hallelujah. Questions. Hello, sir. Please, I need clarity on what you said earlier about developing feelings for what you pay attention to. I've been having feelings for this lady over 5 years now. Ah, that's lovely. And she doesn't even give me attention or cares. Listen, please, what should I do? Hold on or move on? If I'm to move on, how do I quench the feelings? Thank you for being honest. You know, some of you are laughing now. If you are not there before, if you've not been there, you don't understand. Okay. And then people have all kinds of background and conditioning. Okay. Like this brother, if you were in certain places, you were taught certain things, this wouldn't have happened. It's a waste of your time. Amen. It's a waste of your energy. You can't have feelings for someone for 5 years and the person does not care, does not have feelings for you, and then you are waiting. You have to move on. The first answer is move on. Is that okay? You know, this is different from, you know, a lady can like you but doesn't know there are other people, but this one does not like you. You understand? She has not shown signs that she likes you. Move on. Listen, you know, this thing is just a mental trap. You'd be surprised, a final girl would like you, a final babe will love you and fall in love with you. Just free your mind. That's the first thing. Do you understand? Free your mind, release the person. How do you deal with feelings? How do you deal with quench the feelings? It's not really difficult. Okay, it may take a little time, but it's not difficult. Listen, your feelings are subject to you. You are not a slave of your feelings. And a major way to handle that is through the words of your mouth. Let me tell you something. Your words can counter your thoughts. We can do the experiment now. I may tell you, think about this in your heart, then you start talking, you forget what you are thinking in your heart. Yes, you know, in those days we were on campus, we used to say love can be transferred from one person to the other. And we say those things so that nobody will mess us up. Amen. No, it was deliberate too. We used to say love can be moved from one lady to another. That's what we used to say. We used to say love can be moved from one sister to another. So you don't waste my time. Okay, listen. You talk to yourself. Okay, you talk to yourself. You talk to yourself. In the name of Jesus, my mind is off this person. I come out of this feeling and bondage. No, it sounds weird, right? Somebody is laughing. Let me tell you. When you start making such a confession, it sounds weird from the beginning. But you are doing the right thing. Continue until you are comfortable with it. Until it works. Anytime your mind goes that you're saying the name of Jesus, mind, you can't go in that direction. I'm done with this, and the Lord is bringing for me His appointed one. So I'm not joking. You know, this is not psych. This is scriptures. This is Christian living. Are you listening? And that is how to handle people walking out of your life. Very important. You don't get trapped. You don't show weakness. When you go on their birthday, you are the first to still call them. That's weak. That's weak. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. On their birthday, let somebody else call them. Shit, they left you. Do you understand? It's not done. Okay. You understand? Except, you know, okay, you have a chance. And that's even for a guy himself. A lady should not do that. Okay, if you know you have a chance, and then the person has said no, but she's not in a relationship, you are still pressing to be the one. Okay, you can do that on her birthday to impress her. You understand? But you are broken up. The person has moved on. The person is practically hanging out with someone else. Don't move on. Don't show weakness. Okay? And then not be resentful also. Don't hate the person. Pray for the person. I release you in the name of the Lord. I have nothing against you. I'm serious. Are you listening? Because you see, your humanity can show up and you can start resent the person. You can start hating on the person, which is wrong, which will not help you. Listen, the Bible says God takes away the first that he might establish the second. So until the first is taken away completely, God can never establish the second. This is the reason some people are not married. They're still holding on. That guy, we had something together. What happened? Sis, wake up. He's gone. He's gone. The moment you release him, you'll be surprised at how God will establish the second. That was what God told Samuel. He said, let Saul go, for I found for me a man after my heart in the house of Jesse. So you have to let Saul go for your eyes to see David. And that applies to both young men and ladies. Are you listening to me? So never be in bondage. It doesn't mean you should be mean. It doesn't mean you should affect the next person you are going to be in a relationship with. Always, I told you, never let somebody's foolishness affect who you are. If you're a good person, you're a good person. I tell you, whatever you do for love's sake and people misbehave, that's them. It should never change you. When you find someone again, show them love and even more. If they misbehave again, pass. Next. Do you understand? Because see, you shall reap what you sow. You will reap it. Not where you sowed. So one day you receive the harvest of love. Are you listening? All right. Pastor, recently my girlfriend told me to my face that having more than one boyfriend is not chesting. I don't understand. It's not what? It's not cheating. Okay. It's not cheating. Pastor, I'm confused. Is it true? I've answered it too. Let me help you. Listen, as a young man, your first loyalty is to your destiny. You see, we're not saying this to be, you have to be emotional, you have to love someone, do you understand? But see, there is a line you should not cross. Marriage is for earth. You are not going to heaven with your wife or your husband. Are you aware? At least according to the curriculum of our dispensation, we're told that in heaven, there is no marriage. That means you're not crossing with your wife or your husband. That means it's for earth. Now, your destiny, the things you do with your life on it have impact in heaven, in your position in heaven. Are you listening? Very important. Your first allegiance is your destiny and to your future. So you should not have this, some people, listen, don't give to your girlfriend what you have not given to God. It's foolishness. Don't give to your boyfriend what you have not given to God. It's foolishness. When I see people do that, I know they are not interested about serious matters. You sprayed 50K on the babe. You've never carried 50K and say, Pastor, take. Or 50K, say, church, take. It's foolishness. Extreme foolishness. I'm the one telling you. Don't do that. Your investment should show. And you see, the Bible says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Listen, all these heartbreak. Spiritual people, they don't know it all. Let me be very honest with you. It doesn't mean you don't feel emotionally down. You can. But all those excruciating what? 1 hour of tongue. When I'm giving my car, my clearing my account for God's work, my heart is somewhere. I was a guy. I want to kill myself. He said, go and kill yourself. Jump. Nonsense. Nonsense. Are you listening? And by the way, in case you don't know, a lady cannot have two boyfriends. A man cannot have two girlfriends. Okay, if girlfriend is relationship you are talking about, they can have female friends. You are not married to someone, so don't block them from having other male friends. Amen. Amen. And that's the fact. And there's nothing, you can't say because you are dating and relationship, you just block your phone, what's inside. What am I saying? That's nonsense. That's insecurity. Amen. That's serious insecurity. Okay, I never did that. My wife had a lot of male attention. Okay, before we married. But I was a very secure person.
I was very, very secure. So it's not, you don't go the person's phone. You have, I'm aware she's supposed to have fans. In fact, I'm aware she was supposed to get distracted here and there. I'm aware. Do you understand? Eh? Please, so don't, but I didn't say she was. I said, I'm aware it can happen. It's not right to. He said, that's right. But my point is, you see, build, be a confident person. Build yourself up to a point where you know who you are. Okay. If this guy is going to misbehave, she's the one losing, not me. Come to that point. Do you understand? And so, be that. So you don't, they can have male friends, but not boyfriends. Okay, that's absurd. That's unbiblical. That doesn't work. Okay, that's, it's not just cheating. It's foolish. Okay, you don't go have, all right. There's a guy who said he really loves me and he cares a lot. I don't like him at all. Hope he's not the 5 years, babe. Amen. Shagavaya. Alright, so we're having a complimentary answer. I don't like him at all, and I don't want to be in a relationship with him. But I have tried all I can to let him forget about me. But he's not willing to. Please, what should I do? Because he's beginning to annoy me, and he's making me give him a disrespectful attitude that I'm not comfortable with. You may be that guy, you. Amen. That was just joke. Alright, from the lady's perspective, please be firm. Is that okay? If he's a gentleman, he should respect you. If he's not respecting you, then he needs counseling. You can't be bothering a lady. I'm not doing. Okay, listen. Guys, no is somebody's opinion. It's just somebody's opinion. It doesn't define you. No is somebody's opinion. Praise God. No is somebody's opinion. So you don't go overworking yourself because somebody said no. You don't go pressing. Listen, you know, it's a mind trap. Once you come out, your eyes will be open. There are many fine ladies. I told you now, of the increase of fine girls, there shall be no end. I'm telling you the truth. So you don't, but you know, your mind is trapped. So get your mind out of that place as a young man. Don't be there. Except God speaks otherwise. If a lady says she's not doing, the next day start eyeing another people. Start believing God for. Okay, who is? I am telling you the truth. Except God speaks otherwise. And I've been there before. Amen. I've been there before. I was in a relationship, we broke up. After a week, one of my friends said, where's your baby? I said, I noticed they are bad. There's somebody I wanted to meet. Something else wanted to start. Amen. And it's as simple as that. And then, until God spoke to me, that first lady is my wife. So I had to forget about that. Are you listening? So it's not, don't get, it doesn't mean you don't love the person. I don't know how I can explain this to you. Especially when the person you have tried, okay, to make the person see, the person doesn't like you. Okay, bye-bye, we can be friends. Most times, maybe it's inferiority complex or something. But if you're a man, who's on a path of success, you should get female attention. Do you understand? So it's all, you don't shake your head and then you are trying until you are beginning to have loose. The person is insulting you. It's crazy. Don't do that. You are precious. Don't do that. Hope I've helped you. And as a lady, please maintain your stand. Don't pick his call. Just tell him, okay, this can work. Can we take a break? Can we not call? Okay, can you not call me? Can you not? At least it will help you get over me or something and move. Don't say yes because the person has. Remember, I talked about conviction. Don't say yes because the person has been. If along the line you begin to like the person, there's nothing wrong with it. Absolutely. You can start liking what you were not liking before. It can happen. It's common with life. Hope you know. It's very common. Especially as the lady, you can like what you are not liking before. So know that one. And but if that thing is not there yet, remember we talked about chemistry. It's punishment. Okay, don't come in relationship and be looking outside. Okay, is it proper for a couple to help? All right, and is it proper? Are we together? Is it proper for a couple to hold? Okay, to help improve its other sexual about sexual like libido, sexual performance by watching pornographic videos together. Very important question. I've thought about this before. Can I read the scripture for us? I'll need to search my pad. Maybe while they're taking the offering, I'll search it. You see that scripture that talks about, are you listening to me? Let me give you a scriptural background to it. The scripture that talks about do not give your neighbor a cup of hot wine. The King Kayode is there. He can search it and just put it up. Somewhere in those minor prophets. Okay, Habakkuk. Yes, Habakkuk. He said, don't give your neighbor a cup of wine. He says, so that you may behold his nakedness. It's an abomination to the Lord. The focus of that scripture is not the wine you give. The focus is God's position about beholding another person's nakedness. That's the scripture that talks about, that talks against pornography. Are you listening? That's what he's saying. There are other non-pornographic sexual performance enhancing materials. Are you listening? For couples that are non-pornographic. We can make the excuse in our minds and all that. Are you listening? My wife and I have never done it. I'm saying it publicly. We didn't do it. And of course, we started, we married, we're having sex on the first time when we got married, or the day we got married, so we had a lot to learn. Are you listening? But even with that, I knew that we can't go in that direction. We have to look for other materials. Are you listening? And their materials are non-pornographic. Okay, did I put it up? So you have non... Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. So God's focus is the looking at the nakedness. Are you listening? Okay, you can look at yourself's nakedness. You and your spouse. It's the Bible said they were naked and not ashamed. That's okay. Are you following me? But don't. Okay. There are other materials that are romantic enough, that are stimulating enough. Understand? Pornography is another world. It's another world that is not a real world. Because the danger is you are going to have some expectations that are unrealistic. A lot of the time, the sex they have on pornography, they are on drugs. Are you listening? They are on drugs, and it's not, a lot of the things are not real. A lot of these, I will teach on masculine sexuality. They are not. So you create on unrealistic expectation. That's about number two. There is no affection in the love in pornography. Do you understand? And really, in marriage, the beauty of sex is affection. Are you listening? So it's not just the act being done, it's the affection. Glory to God. Like I say, and I always say, the wisdom of God must always prevail. Must always prevail. So don't go in that direction. Have I helped? Good morning, Pastor Sir. I have two questions. Okay, let me just hold on with this and take this. I know somebody is learning something. Why are you guys all quiet? You are going to use pornography to learn in marriage? The Lord deliver you. How does one draw the line between submission and slavery for a woman? God bless the lady that has these questions. Yes. It's very important too. Now, the underlying wisdom behind submission is leadership and structure. You can write that down. It's leadership and structure. Meaning the reason God talks about the woman submitting to her own husband. In fact, he didn't say to every husband around. You know, there are men who feel every woman should submit to them. That is, that is, that is braggadocious and rude. Because you're a man, every man should submit to you. Something must be wrong with you. You know, a lot of us were raised that way. Men, so anytime you see a lady, every lady should submit to you. For what? Who are you to her? So the Lord was dealing with leadership and authority. Now, having said that, very important. Anything that has two heads is a monster. That means in every system, God will want one head. For the church, there's one head, is Christ. For the home, there's one head, the husband. For the family, there's one head, the father. Are you listening? For an organization, there's one head, the CEO. For a church, there's one head, the senior pastor. Now, not because they are better, but because of accountability and leadership. When God comes to a place, he wants to hold somebody responsible. In fact, if you are doing anything serious with your life here, maybe you run a business, you understand what I'm talking about. When you have five people working for you, somebody has to be responsible for them. When you want something done, somebody has to be responsible. Are you listening? So the leadership, the headship of a man, not dictatorship, it is leadership. Dictators command to be obeyed. Leaders lead to be obeyed. There's a difference. Are you listening? So very important. It is not slavery. It is submission. Submission means you are willingly submitting your will, okay, and your decision to someone else in the context of marriage. It's not supposed to be slavery, okay. And then a man submit to his wife. The wife submit to a man. There's nothing like that. The woman submits to her husband. The husband loves his wife. And love is something very subtle, something very beautiful, rather. Love will always give the advantage to the beloved. Love is always considerate. So, see, when you look at the wisdom of God, there's balance. There's balance. That's why we say you can love a woman into submission, and you can submit a man into loving. A good man. Are you listening? So, very, very important. It's not slavery. How do you handle a relationship, a blissful relationship that doesn't move, that doesn't have parental support, especially when there is a stereotype towards the people from where you come from? Very important. I think last week something like that was answered. You see, I streamed the service and I still remember something was answered. And she gave example of her own self when they wanted someone from her tribe. And then the first thing is to go to pray. Go to pray. In prayer, you shake off all those things. You shake them off. Truly. You shake them off. That's where you turn things now. You shake them off. Listen, to agree to parental pressure to only marry from your tribe is to program your future wrongly. It's terrible. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you have decided, okay, I want to marry from my ethnic group as a personal decision, without external influence, even that self, God can question it. Do you understand? But to just subscribe, so don't pray first, okay? Pray, get authority figures involved. Is that okay? Then it depends on your relationship with your parents before now. You see, you must paint, especially for those of you who are younger, you must communicate to your parents a picture of independence early. Sometimes there's so much influence and control they have on you is because of so much dependence. So much dependence. One of the ways to communicate that independence is financial independence. The second way is to be on a path of destiny. See, once your parents say that you're a reasonable person, you are wise, when you bring opinions to the table that stand the test of time, they will waive many things for you. But most times, you know, there's really delayed sense of youthfulness in Africa, but that is changing in our generation. People feel so. Why are you graduating to go back to your house? What is wrong with you? Why will you graduate from school and pack your bag and go home to go and do what? If you school from home, it's okay. Maybe you live in Jaws, your parents live in Jaws, the school university of Jaws is okay. But you travel to school, you are out of that household. No traveling back to stay. for both male and female. Are you listening? And how to get involved, get a job, run the business. I'm the one telling, for those of you who are students, it's abnormal to graduate and go back home, or to finish NYC and go back home. If your dad runs a company and you're supposed to go and run it for him or help them run, that's okay. But to go back home, they are looking for a job, that's wrong. Don't do that. So most of the control is, you see, I started attending another church from when I was 15. And then I stopped going home from when I was 20, from school. Maybe 1920. I stopped going home. For Christmas, they'll call, are you not coming? I said, I'm not coming. I'm preparing for my destiny. Amen. And then I'll go on retreat. Amen. I'm serious. So there was a detachment. And then I'll tell my mom once in a while, as much as I say, I'm not the kind of person. I will likely not marry from the same tribe. So if we should prepare. They say, no, these are the reasons. My grandfather called me one day and just explained. He was even trying to use scripture. I explained the scripture to him. That's my grandfather. All the explanation. I even told him, I said, Zoibu, I'll never marry. He shouted. I said, so let's stay back at home. If you're not interested, you know, you. But at prime, that's like years before I got married. So everybody already knew that doesn't sell with me. It doesn't. So how you handle that from the beginning? But if you're already there and you have not prepared for it, just go into prayers, get authority figures involved, okay, and God will intervene. That's the truth. If that man is the will of God, the lady is the will of God, God will intervene. But you have a lot of praying to do. That's the truth, okay. And sometimes you may have to wait, but do it God's way, okay. Do it God's way. At least you can win one. Want to win one person, either your mom or your dad, you're good. Is that okay? Okay, say my parents have been married and are still married for 30 years. They quarrel almost every time, and they quarrel in my presence, not showing the love in my presence. I'm 22 years old, and with two of my parents behave the way they behave, I have decided not to get married. My question is, what can I do to change the way they behave, and what could be the problem? For 30 years. Where did you keep it? It's not the one I've answered. Okay. Look up at me, everyone. This is a very important question that can apply to a lot of us. A lot of us came from home where a lot of things happen. Listen, your parents have lived their life. It's time for you to live your own life. Did you hear what I said? Your parents have lived their life. 30 years, that's long. Your parents have lived their life. What you can do is to pray for them to find Jesus if they are born again. Pray for them to get discipled. Are you listening? But one thing must be clear in your mind. You have a life before you to live. And what you make out of that life is your own responsibility. Your parents, they are probably in their 60s. Their 50s and 60s. Are you listening? So don't get bogged down and weighed down by those things. Glory to God. Don't get weighed down by those things. If they have lived like that for 30 years, God bless their good hearts. God bless them. But my focus is you. You have a life to live. You have a life. So you don't let, you hear this one from home tomorrow, your father, your mother fought, you are depressed. If you are young, I understand. If they are married for 30 years, please, that's their decision. If they are beating your mother, carry her from there. Do you understand? And let our life be saved. And face your life and pray for them. Did you hear what I said? You have a life to live before you. Make it count. Make it excellent. Make it modern. Channel it. Use that energy to ensure you have an exemplary home. Exemplary home. Are you listening to me? Turn it and vow that you have a great home, exemplary home, and start learning how it works. If you're a young man, you have to renew your mind and destroy that cassette on the inside. Because you're likely going to abuse your own wife too. Amen. If you are a lady, you also have to offset something from your spirit. Very important. From your subconscious, because you are going to hate men. Or if you fall in love, something in you is going to rebel. And if you are in that category, you are listening to me, pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. You came from a home where your mother is controlling, and you are seeing it, you're going to be a controlling wife if nothing is done. It's not because you're a bad person, it's a program. You like to be in control. You don't even know it's unconscious. You want everything. You unconsciously want to trap the man. It's unconscious. That if you marry a man that is not strong will, you just make a mess of marriage. Listen, may it not happen to you that you are leading your home as a lady. May it not happen to you. It's ugly. Are you listening? And if you marry a strong-willed man who has knowledge, he can guide you. He can notice that from even caution. As he look, you are controlling. And you have to work on it. Okay. And then you guys have to go through the process of helping you come out of it and all that. Is that okay? These things are very deep psychological stuff. Very, very deep psychological stuff that you must apply the word of God at subliminal and a subconscious level to deal with. Hallelujah. Two more questions and we're good. Is somebody getting blessed? All right. Good morning, sir. Thank you for this opportunity to ask questions. Sir, I got out of a relationship that I knew wasn't going anywhere. I gave myself time to heal and felt that I had sufficiently done so. Someone else came around and is serious about me. I like him, but I find myself comparing him with the other guy. Okay, it's natural. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. I notice this happens only when we haven't spoken for a while. Okay. I wasn't sexually involved with either of them, so I don't know why this is happening. That's a very, very smart lady. You know, one of the ways that this can happen is when you are sexually involved. Okay, so that's a disclaimer there. So I don't know why this is happening. I prayed about it, but it doesn't seem to be anything. It doesn't seem to be anything. Another thing is that this new guy seems to be childish. He gets angry over the slightest things. And no matter how I apologize, he just doesn't seem to let things go. He keeps malice. And at times, I feel like the guy in the relationship. Listen. Sometimes I feel like the guy in the relationship chasing the girl. Please, sir, I'm really confused. What do I do? Thank you for your honesty and thank you for opening up. This is very serious. It's a very serious something. Amen. That's how Nigerians say it, right? It's a very serious something. Amen. You are not satisfied in this current guy. That's why you are comparing him. Okay. That's why, probably because of some of the issues you have mentioned. Okay, you would have to get into yourself and tell yourself the truth. Okay, do you want to manage or you want to get God best? Okay, you know, a lady can decide to manage and you have to be resolute to manage for the rest of your life. Okay, you have to count the cost from the beginning. You may get divorced later. You may be a single parent later. Just count the cost from the beginning. Because certain things are predictable. They are very predictable. People behave their best premaritally. So if they are acting in a certain unbearable way, it will never get married. It will never get better when you're married. Never. Read my lips. It will never get better when you get married. So I encourage you, you may have to take a break from that relationship. And go to God in prayer. So it's not really maybe changing your attention from the former. Both of them have to go. Or you can talk with this guy if he's ready to let. Because you are dealing with two issues. Because of the inadequacies of this guy, you are comparing maybe the good side of the former guy. Who? That didn't work. Are we together? So you have to move out. If you need further counseling, you can meet either I or First Lady. Okay, we'll need to talk. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 months. I'm a 25-year-old virgin. And what I hear about virgins these days is getting me confused. Okay. No, just hold on. Just listen. Okay, people think it's wrong. And I was told severally that guys don't like virgins. Guys, is that true? At least you have heard first-hand information. It's just perceptional. I think there are more guys who like to marry virgins than the ones who are not interested? I think so. Okay. For some, it's their pride. Okay. For me, it wasn't really a... Even though I got, it wasn't really a... you understand? I just have basic things. Okay. And so, they are... Because, of course, I'm a preacher, for God's sake. I believe in forgiveness. I can't use people's parts to predict their future. So, I should... I don't... You understand? You can't. So, it wasn't a big deal for me. Okay. But... For a lot of guys, surprisingly, so girl, you are wrong on that, okay? Number two, it depends on people you are hanging around. If you're hanging around bad boys, you hear things like that, okay? You hear a lot of things, Is that okay? It is not true, okay? It is not true. Please keep yourself. Listen, the Bible is clear about it. It's not... The Bible is clear about it. Bible says marriage is honorable in all things when the bed is undefiled. Okay. And number two, is a thing of honor. Never forget that. Is a thing. Listen, to be a virgin to your marriage is one of the honors you can give to God. Nobody may tell you thank you. Your husband may not even appreciate it. Listen, but it is an honor you give to God. Are you listening? So, you're a virgin, please keep yourself. Okay? Keep yourself. It's a great honor. It's an honor that you give to God. And it's something to be proud of. In the kingdom of God, being a virgin and marrying as a virgin is something to be proud of. Is it that maybe you're hanging around the wrong people and all that? I don't think any brother in church will say that. Amen? Okay? Most of them want to marry virgins. Okay? If they have their ways, amen. Okay, so I think you are in the right position. In the world, all kinds of things happen. The world wants you to feel bad for following the truth. Never forget that. So we understand that in the world they'll tell you, Jew man, you're a virgin, you've not, you know, that they say those things. But you see, in the kingdom is not important. In the kingdom, what was God is the most important thing. Hallelujah. Okay, the same person, please, Pastor. Is kissing and cuddling and in romance wrong in a relationship? Madam, you're a virgin. Why are you? He's the same person, yes. I just encourage you to keep yourself. You are going to look for what is not looking for you. A lot of people who are not virgins anymore want to be virgins. They wish they knew better. Do you understand? That's true. A lot of people wish they knew better. Because there was really no big deal in the things that they went and did. You understand? So, why? All right, kissing and cuddling. In relationship, let me address it generally now. Open your ears very well. Amen. Hallelujah. Kissing will lead to other things. Kissing was not meant to stop at kissing. Hallelujah. And I assure you, you see, you live in more dangerous times than 20 years ago. In those 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if you're in a relationship with a sister in church and she's in your house, your door is wide open. Your door is wide open. It's wide open with stone blocking the door. Everybody is fast. Says, brother Natalia, well done. Sister Ada, you are here. Nothing can happen. But we live in a more complex society. Now, in fact, the house you live in is not like, you understand? Okay, on the internet, the movie you are sitting down to watch together, why the door is closed? Before you know it, there's a sex scene already. And you can't say you are spiritual, nothing is happening. No, something is happening to your mind. So we live in more dangerous times, and that's the truth. Okay, for the fact that a lot of us are already sexually exposed. Okay, so you have to, when you have decided to honor God, you have to keep the rules. Number one, don't waste your time starting relationship when marriage is far. He doesn't, he's not it. Okay, when you're ready to marry or you think you have 2 years, that's what we call, I read a book when I was 16 and it helped me. The title of the book was Living with Unfulfilled Desires by Walter Chobish. And the essence was, look, as a teenager, you have desires, but you can live with them unfulfilled. And you're sharing the skill on how to make that happen. And man, it helped me a great deal. You see, number one, it will help you make a decision. So when I came to school, I said I was not going to be in a relationship until I was in 500 level. That's like 5 years into, I was decided from the beginning. And that was what happened. Are you listening? If I eventually, I did not have a relationship till I became a doctor. So once you gain knowledge, it shapes your perspective. It helps you make a decision. And then you set standard to operate. I tell people, listen, as a lady, when you're already sexually exposed. Now, this virgin that asked this question, I'm not encouraging her, but you know she can kiss and all that, and it's more difficult for her to have sex than someone who has been sexually exposed. It's difficult to unsee what you have seen. That means there is a memory in your subconscious that sex is sweet. As someone who had had sex before, especially when you've had this severely, listen, you're in a relationship as a Christian, you want to honor God, you need to keep more rules. You are likely not going to have more guard or more pushback, okay, in sexual temptations. That's the truth. Someone who is a virgin can have that, can go kiss and all that, and just as he can't cross the line. Okay, why? It is not in her subconscious. Are you listening? For a virgin to have sex, she will have to determine that this day we are going to have sex. It cannot happen by accident. Is it true, ladies? It cannot happen by accident. There's no unconscious. No matter how hot the romance is, you are not having sex. Except you thought that day that today I want to try this sex thing. Are you listening? But it's not the same thing for those who are sexually exposed. You've had sex before another. It's not the same thing. Anything can happen. You understand? Anything can happen. So you leave the fire alone. Leave the fire alone. Just don't fan it to flame. Don't fan it to flame. Often it's a flame. Let your heart be like this. Amen. You guys are laughing now. I'm helping you. Do side hug. Don't do straight hug. When you do straight hug, your booms rubs on him and he just turns on. He says, my God, what is happening here? And then he holds you closer. And then you side hug. Eh? Some of you are looking like, what does that mean? Amen. No, but for some, it doesn't mean anything. For some, it doesn't mean anything. Sometimes unconsciously, I give direct ones. I don't remember. Amen. But you know what I'm talking about. Know thyself. Know thyself. Is that okay? Glory to God. Give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some praise like you learned something. Amen. All right, we're going to do something. We're going to take selfies, okay? You take selfies, you can back the stage. Just you can take in groups, personal, and then you go on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. You can stand though. You can feel free. If you want to sit. If you want to stand. If you want to, you understand? Can we do that? Nice selfies in group, personally, and then go on Instagram, on Twitter. Smile now. Do it in groups. Come on, you selfie time. Overflows. Main hall. See, my wife is not around. Come on, take selfie with me. Come. All right. So, you can... Have you taken the selfies? Just go on Instagram. Hashtag Colors of Love with Dr. Caris. Hashtag Glory Zone Church. On Instagram, on Facebook. You can tag us, Glory Zone Church. Okay, G-Zone on Twitter, Glory Zone Church on Instagram, and Facebook, the Embassy of Heaven. If I'm your friend on Facebook, kindly tag me. Okay, please, if I'm your friend on Facebook, kindly tag me. Can we do that? Now, the highest engagement on Instagram and Twitter will get a prize on Sunday. So, go and walk. Uh, Facebook. All right, Facebook, no problem. I'll find something for you. But my focus is Instagram, Twitter. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we package our offerings? And then package your tithe if you are giving your tithe. Now, if you are sitting, you couldn't get a comfortable selfie after the service, just go out. Please don't use those Edmark background. You can't be advertising for them. I brought you here. So look for church flex roll-up banner and use as a background. Don't we'll soon create a picture spot. Hallelujah. Can we package our tithes? Package our offerings. Let's be on our feet. Celebrate Dr. Peter, Pastor Peter.
Hallelujah. Can we celebrate our senior pastor? Come on, I say celebrate your senior pastor.
God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.